Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, probably a little bit of bad news for WWE fans who were so sold and very, very high on Pat McAfee, who was supposed to come back after the college football season was over. Apparently, Pat McAfee is not going to come back. Wade Barrett, in a recent interview, said that his position there was as long-term as it can get. And McAfee has since made a statement saying that he has a lot of things going on in his life right now, including, I guess, the birth of a child coming up with his wife and some other plans. He says he's not completely through with the WWE. He still has plans, but it's sounding really like he's just giving us a little bit of a optimism where there isn't much. I don't see Pat McAfee coming back soon now. He may actually come back for WrestleMania to do one match, I was told. But as far as a full-time gig as an announcer, I think that's over, folks. And that's a shame, really, because while I like Wade Barrett very much, always have, McAfee added an energy to the WWE's announced team that really hasn't been there a very, very long time. And I could argue that McAfee helped to sell some things that were not probably going to go over without him trying so hard to sell it. And there was just an energetic sort of a every fan type attitude about him. And I think we're going to miss that. I don't know what the heck happened exactly. I know he wanted to go off and do the college football thing. And I know he loves wrestling, and he even wrestled some matches and had indicated he had some interest in being a full-time wrestler. And it went from that to basically, I still love wrestling, still follow wrestling, still have a dream one day of being in the Hall of Fame. My thoughts and my career with WWE is not over, but, and then there's the but. But right now, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life. Well, here's the thing. You can be an announcer at any age. So I'm not overly concerned about that. But if Pat McAfee wanted a WWE career, Pat McAfee needs to be in the ring now, not 2, 3, 4 years from now. So we'll see what ends up happening with this. I know a lot of fans are disappointed. They thought that maybe right after WrestleMania he was going to make a full-time comeback. I'd even heard that WrestleMania was the beginning and then he was going to come back on a full-time basis. Apparently this is not true, Mike, so I don't think we'll be seeing Pat McAfee other than maybe a match or two at WrestleMania for the foreseeable future.
You know, this is the first time I'm hearing of this, and you know, it is what it is, you know. I mean, this guy, he's already 35 years old, you know, so it's like, okay, if he's going to do something in wrestling, it's going to have to be done in the ring, I'm talking about. That. Now, he could come back at 35 or 40 and still be a commentator, but there's only a certain amount of time being that age that he has the ability to come back and get in the ring and do athletic things, you know?
Yeah, and I think that time is about coming to an end, because if he's literally going to say, well, it might be a couple of years, what are you going to be, 37 and you're starting your career? That doesn't work out too much. Worked out for Diamond Dallas Page. It doesn't work out for most people. So I'm sad to see him go. Again, I do like Wade Barrett, but there's a difference. Wade Barrett is an old school sort of a heel announcer that just plays off his partner. But there was an energy level to Pat McAfee. I can only liken it to Joey Styles. Remember Joey Styles in ECW especially? Not so much in WWE. But in ECW, Joey Styles had such an energy broadcasting about announcing that it was infectious and it made you energetic about the product. Pat McAfee had that same thing. Very energetic about the product. Very, very upbeat. And he made the fans kind of feel that same way. I think that's going to be missed, Todd. It's a shame that we won't be seeing him full time.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, everybody was expecting him to come back to be a full time commentator for SmackDown. But by the looks of it, it looks like he has everything going on in his life right now. And maybe one day down the road, we'll see him to be doing maybe do like a pay per view or two as a commentator, but you never know. You never know on that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I do think that I think everything he said is honest. I think he still has aspirations of being in the WWE in some capacity. I think he still loves wrestling. And you can't blame the guy for wanting to take some time if his wife's having a baby and he's got a lot of stuff on his plate that's probably going to keep him away enough and doesn't want to add something else. But here's the thing. As tough as it is to say, if you're still going to do your radio show, you're still going to do some other sports, you can't really tell me you love wrestling above that, because then you would cancel those things out. You would say, well, I'm not going to do this. I'd rather go broadcast wrestling. Now, I don't know whether this is a mutual agreement in which the WWE said, you know what, we're happy with our announced team right now. And they just don't want to say that because they want to keep the door open for McAfee later on, or I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. I do know that McAfee said the right things, but it gives me the feeling that he's saying that to appease people and not because he technically means it, because you do what you want, right? I mean, at the end of the day, McAfee could say, well, I'm not going to have time to do these other things if I want to be a WWE commentator. So I won't do the other things. Or, well, I have these other things going, and that's more important to me than being a WWE commentator. Okay. Now, someone said he might show up in the Saudi Arabia show, too. I don't know. I think he's going to be one of those guys that have the open-door policy in the WWE, where he's made such a good impression, and he's been so easy to work with and contributed so much, that he's one of them guys that if next week he says, hey, you know, I'm free, can I do a pay-per-view? They'd say yes. Without any long-term commitment or anything else. I think he's ended up being one of those guys, Mike, that the WWE just says, you know, the door's always open if you want to do something.
Right, and that's the thing. And look, he has the same energy. Lawler, when he first started with the WWE, yeah, he was coming from a different place. He was a wrestler and all that stuff, but he had that same type of energy, you know, when he first started with the WWE, the Jerry Lawler,
yes.
You know. And basically, he is Jerry Lawler, a younger Jerry Lawler. I mean, that's now he's not the heel thing that Jerry Lawler was at the time in the Attitude Era, but he's that type of energy, you know.
Yeah, he does, and it's an infectious energy, and I just think it was something the WWE is missing. If you look at the announced teams, and, you know, we pick on Corey Graves and a couple other people sometimes. If you look at the announced team, they're capable announcers. They do their job. They put over the people they need to put over. But sometimes there's a lack of overall energy. McAfee had so much energy, he reminded me of just a fan. And if you can get that through to an audience, that you're as big a fan as they are, maybe bigger, that's an infectious energy. I remember one time I went to a minor league baseball game. And I don't know, you know, there was a small, decent, small crowd there. And I just decided, you know what, I'm here, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to yell and holler and really get into the game and really have some fun. And even though it was probably only the second or third game of this team I went to, during intermission, I had a lady literally tap me on the shoulder and say, yeah, I came here with my husband, I don't like baseball, but listening to you was so entertaining. I actually got into the game because you were so into this game and you were so vocal about it and you had such an energy that I was actually in, and it was entertaining. And I said, geez, there you go. That's what Pat McAfee did. He was able to express an energy and an enthusiasm for a match you might not have had that much enthusiasm for, but for some reason it was infectious and all of a sudden you became enthusiastic about the match because he was fun to listen to. That's a gift. A lot of people don't have that. And McAfee had it. So I do think it's a big loss. And I don't know whether it was about money. I don't know whether it was about traveling. Traveling could have been a big part of it. I don't know what it was about. But I hope to see him back in the future, and I hope to see him with that same enthusiasm because I really think the wrestling business misses that tremendously. He was a breath of fresh air. He really honestly was. Anyway, numbers are in for the AEW pay-per-view Revolution, and they did about 133,000 buys. This is down over 20% from last time's Revolution. That's not a good sign. There is definitely a trend that they are losing some of their momentum. Not, listen, they're always going to have their base. I've said this and we've said this on the show a million times. AEW found their base, and it's right around the, you know, 850,000-900,000 people who are just diehard AEW fans, and they are going to enjoy the shows. But when you draw a million or 950,000 and only 133,000, approximately 13%, buy your pay-per-view, that's not a good sign. 13% of your base audience, and that includes overseas and things, 13% bought your pay-per-view. That's not a high number. It just isn't. You got to have at least a quarter of the people buying your pay-per-view. I realize you're never going to get every person that watches your show to buy a pay-per-view. But, man, you should be able to get 25% of them. That means one in four people. Just one in four people who watch your show on a regular basis to buy your pay-per-view would have gave you 25%. You ended up with 13%. That's half of 25. That's one in eight. One in eight people. I don't know. I mean, that would ring some alarm bells for me, Todd. I would think that they need to do better than that.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. It reminds me when the WCW pay-per-views went down the crapper of ratings, of viewers. And the WWE finally beat them in pay-per-views and back in the day before WCW closed its doors. I don't want to see that happen, the same thing happen with AEW, with their pay-per-view rates.
No, I don't either. But again, when you're down from last year's, that's not a good sign. Again, when a business first starts, you're going to have that enthusiasm. Everybody's going to try out the new pizza place, right? See how their pizza is. So initially, you're going to get a lot of people. That's what AEW did initially. Then you're going to settle into an area where, you know, you basically got the people you're going to get, and you got to reach out and try to get more people. You got to say, well, we got our base audience now. How do we reach more people? How do we get more people to, et cetera? I don't think AEW's found the answer to that. I think AEW's just sitting pat saying, well, we're happy doing what we're doing. Okay, well, that's fine, but then you're going to have to understand and clearly understand that you are not a competition for the WWE, and you're not really going to be in competition for a lot of their talent either because, let's face it, if the WWE is doing 2 million plus, double what you're doing, and doing a buy rate that's approximately, you know, twice, three times yours on, well, they've got Peacock, so it doesn't matter anymore, but the amount of people that's watching, there's a lot of wrestlers who are going to say, well, I'd rather be where more eyes are. Think of it in terms of this. People know I've said I'm a musician. If somebody offered me a gig where I could headline and be in front of 250, 300, 400 people, or they offered me to open up for a band where there's going to be 10,000 people, I'm going to take the 10,000 people. And even if it's for less money. And the reason I'm going to do that is because I have the potential now to be seen by 10,000 people who all may not know me but could be fans afterwards. So, again, you're talking about wrestlers who say, well, I'm being seen by 900,000 people and on a pay-per-view a little over 100,000 people, or I can be a mid-carder maybe, but seen by virtually millions and millions of people and virtually hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, on pay-per-view. What's going to draw me the biggest success? What's going to lead to me not necessarily being able to do 20-minute matches and show all of my talent, but what's going to lead me to be a big star? Where I can walk into a convention and sign autographs for 3 hours and still have a line and have people asking me if I want to do a movie role, have people asking me if I want to do a commercial, have people, you know, clamoring for me to come to their events and things like that. And the answer is the WWE right now. You've got to grow your base. Mike, 122,000 buys sounds pretty good, but then when you realize they're doing virtually a million viewers, that's just a little, about 13% of their viewership is buying their pay-per-views.
Absolutely, and think about this. I mean, you know, you look at what the WWE. Well, let's compare this to what they had, what they were doing before. You know, before they sold out the Peacock, before they sold the network, and you were getting what you were having people pay what. $10, $12 to get on the WWE network, right? And,
yes.
And if you're getting 112,000 people to buy your network for $12 a piece every month, that's a steady stream of income, right? Yeah, you're cutting your – you're going from a $60 pay-per-view possibly to $10. You know, but it's still
right.
$10, $12 a month, and you're still, if you're getting $10, $12 a month for 120 pay-per-views, you know, 120,000 people. Plus, I mean, I would wager to say that more than 112,000 or 120,000 people are watching. We'll watch WrestleMania. We'll watch SummerSlam. We'll watch, you know, Survivor Series, you know. I would wager to say that. I would wager to say at least double, if not triple, that is going to watch WrestleMania. Even though WrestleMania, we all agree, is probably going to be, I don't want to say a crap show, but not as good as Elimination Chamber. More people are going to...
You know, probably not, but Derek in the chat room is saying, well, you know, the economy has something to do with it. If, you know, $60 for a pay-per-view is unaffordable from a lot of people. And, of course, pirating has a lot to do with it, too. Yeah, but I'm not going to hang my hat on that, and I'll tell you why I'm not going to. Because Peacock's not getting less views. I know it's only $10 a month to get the WWE on there, but that's $120 a year. Now, is it easier to lay out $10 a month? Maybe it is easier to lay out $10 a month. In the long run, you're paying more. Not only that, but I don't see these people, I don't see MLB baseball channel being, oh, well, that's way more money, and oh, their subscriptions aren't down. There's a lot of pay channels whose subscriptions are not down, especially sports-related ones, and they're not down. See, sports fans are those type of people who, if they really love something, they're going to say, I'm not going to bite the bullet and not buy. I'll reduce something else. And if you're a huge AEW fan, maybe you don't even have Peacock, right? Maybe you don't watch the WWE. And here's another thing you got to also understand. I've never heard of, maybe I'm sure there are people who do it, but I don't know of too many. Most people who buy a pay-per-view have friends over. That's what I used to do. We'd be like, okay, well, we're buying a pay-per-view at $60. We're having 10 friends over. It's like $6 a piece. Everybody give 10, we'll get some pizza. That's what used to happen. So it's not necessarily $60 a person. You have three or four friends who are AEW fans, and you say, come to my house. So I don't know if it's the price point that's the problem. Never was the problem. I mean, our economy's been bad before, and the WWE had their pay-per-views. So I'm not sure that certainly a little bit of it can be attributed to that. But I still say 25% is not much to ask for. If you regularly draw 1 million people, then 250,000 buys doesn't sound hard to do. Even 200,000 buys. You're doing approximately 10 or 12% of your audience. 10 or 12% of your audience can't, if 10 or 12% of your audience can't get $60 together to buy a pay-per-view, how the hell are they going to come and buy the tickets to your event when you do your house shows? Right? Well, $60 is too much. Okay, well then your gas, your expense to get to the arena, your ticket, your food while you're at there is going to be way more than that. It's going to be way more than that. That's where my problem is. How do you justify doing your house shows, which they're starting to do now? How do you justify doing that? Probably charging at least $50 or $60 for good tickets. And, of course, parking. Gas expense to get there, food while you're there, souvenirs if you want any. You're talking probably about $125, $150 night. How in the world do you expect, and that is per person. So how do you expect them to afford that if they won't bite for $60? I think that's what the problem is, Mike, is that, you know, you look at this and you say, well, if we're not running house shows, this isn't a bad number, but now you got to worry, can I fill up these house shows? Because if they're not going to spring for 60, how are they going to spring for tickets?
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, look, Wednesday night, they started out Dynamite with MJF and his deal and his so-called Rebar Mess or whatever it was at the time. And one of the things that I believe Sammy Guevara brought up was him negotiating his contract over Twitter, right? Or trying to do that anyways. And the inference it was that he wanted to go to the WWE, you know, and leave everybody in the lurch, right? And so, but can you blame him if they're not doing the buys that they thought they're going to do, right, and he's expecting a certain amount of money, you know. Can you blame him for wanting to go to the WWE where he knows he's going to get the money he's going to ask for?
No, I don't. And I do think MJF will end up there. But, you know, again, here's another point I want to mention to Derek in the chat room is it's not like the pay-per-view is announced the day before it happens. It's not like on Friday they say, Saturday's the pay-per-view, folks. We're going to have a pay-per-view. And you're like, shit, man, I'm broke. They give you a month's notice, if not more. You can't save $60 in a month if that's what you want. If your passion is wrestling and you love the AEW, you can't save $60 in a month. That's $2 a day. You can't put $2 a day aside. If you can't put $2 a day aside to watch your favorite organization hold a major pay-per-view, then how are you going to put money aside to go see them live? That's a big problem. That's a big problem. It seems like AEW fans are willing to watch your free stuff, but they're not willing to pay. That's a major problem. If your whole life all you did was have free concerts, I'm sure you can pack a hall. Hey, come out and see a free concert. Night's worth of entertainment. If you want to buy a T-shirt, you want to buy a CD, fine, but the seat is free. Okay, or you can stay home and watch it for free on TV. Fine. The minute you start saying we're charging, if your audience is reduced to 13% of what you normally had, then what would you think? I'll tell you what I would think. People are not willing to pay for what you're showing. So if 1,000 people came to your free concert and had a ball, and you said, Jesus, I drew 1,000 people to my concert. And then you said, you know what? 1,000 people is a pretty good thing. I'm going to charge next time. And 130 showed up. What would your takeaway from that be? My takeaway would be only 130 people are willing to spend money on us. The rest of them were just there because it was free. That's not a success story. That's going to be a real tough road to make money. And the only way you're going to make money is if you can successfully sell these pay-per-views and your house shows. I mean, yeah, the TV station's giving you big money. But at the end of the day, you've got a huge, huge payroll. Huge payroll in AEW. And there's only so much of daddy's money you're going to be able to spend before at some point you're going to have to say, we made a lot of money. And if 13% of your audience is all you can get to actually spend money, you're in trouble. This is why the WWE did sell out to Peacock, because they rightfully made the decision that rather than to ask people for money 8-9 times a year, it would be better for them to have all the money up front from Peacock, have Peacock have the subscription, which is reasonable, and have people say, well, look how much entertainment I can get out of it for $10 a month, which I won't miss. Going back to that old system of give us $60 and we'll give you a pay-per-view is a tough sell. What should happen, and I wish they would think about it, is they should get like the Fight Network or one of these wrestling networks that currently let you buy the wrestling pay-per-views on there to say, no, 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 we're not going to do that. All the pay-per-views on here are going to be free, but Fight app is not free. Fight app is $20 a month or whatever it happens to be, and you can watch all the pay-per-views you want from the independents to whatever, and then you just have to give a certain percentage to each one of these people to bring on the pay-per-view. You could do it by how many people watch a certain one or whatever it happens to be. I know these federations wouldn't like that because they're like, I'd rather have 5 buys and I get the money, then just get a little tiny bit and 500-600 people watch it. Yeah, but you know what? They're not doing it, though. Because let's be brutally honest. If AEW can only sell 123 or 33,000 pay-per-views, how much do you think a independent organization selling them for 20 is doing? 100? If? 50? So, I mean, it's not major money. I would suggest that if you did that, wrestling fans, including myself, I would subscribe. You're never going to get the WWE, obviously. That's locked into Peacock. But you could get every other pay-per-view. You could get TNA. You could get AEW. You could get Ring of Honor. You could get whatever ones you wanted for a certain amount of money. Hell, even if it was $30 a month, most wrestling fans would say, that's not that bad because I can watch how many pay-per-views? Every pay-per-view I want. From all these indie companies, from AEW, from Impact. I don't know if Impact would be interested in doing it, but hell, they might as well. Because Impact isn't selling 133,000, because they're only getting like 500,000 people watching their show. So if they did 10%, that's 5,000. That's not much. Very difficult to say what's going to happen here, but I don't like the trend I'm seeing in AEW. It seems like my prediction from day one is starting to come true, and that is the fidget spinner crowd, the people who are just like, I don't really watch wrestling, but I went to Hot Topic, and there were some Young Bucks shirts there, and my friends like it, so it's cool this year. They're going to watch it for a year or so, and they're going to be like, eh, I'm on to the next fad. The real wrestling fans who enjoy it, well, they're starting to diminish in number because they've seen what you had to offer and they've said it's good, quality wrestling, but nothing's really changing. Nothing's getting bigger. It's just kind of lackadaisical. It's like your favorite pizza place. You know, you go there once a week for a while because you're like, I love it. And then it's always going to be there. And then it's once every couple of weeks. And then it's once a month. And then it's a few times a year because you're like, well, it's always there. They have to keep changing and evolving and growing. They have to have other things you like and say, oh, well, you know what? I wasn't in the mood for pizza, but they make awesome wings or they make awesome cannolis or they make awesome, you know, sausage rolls or spaghetti, whatever it happens to be, to keep you coming back. AEW is the place that's just selling pizza. You got to try a little harder to incorporate a larger fan base. And I hate to say it, but something else that we predicted is starting to come true too, and that is the MJF being the top heel, great, you know, on the mic thing is starting to wear thin. Told you it was going to wear thin. I told you it's got to evolve in some way, shape, or form, because as good as you are on the mic, there's only so many pipe bombs, there's only so many outrageous things you can do before you say, well, I've done it all. What more can I say? What more can I do? I've done it. Problem with ECW, where Paul Heyman personally said to me in Middletown, New York, the problem we're going to face is the hardcore fan, and I don't mean the steadfast fan, I mean the fans of hardcore wrestling, keep wanting something more brutal and more brutal. We've reached the point of no return. What more can you do? When you jump off a scaffold through two tables and one of them's on fire and they've got barbed wire wrapped around them and glass underneath them, is there something else you can do? What else can you do? You've reached the limit. And now you're going to have to start cycling it down or changing it in some way, shape, or form because you can't do more. And he's right. And I think MJF's reached that. So I think AEW has some growing pains here, Mike.
I think so, too. Your theory is right. Think about this. A couple things here. At one point, 10, 15 years ago, when the show was in its early days, we were talking about TNA, right? And how when they were at down there in Florida at the they were giving away tickets, right? And at that point, They were giving away tickets to people who were probably not wrestling fans and getting, you know, and filling that place up, right? And we said at that time that, well, if they start charging for those tickets, those fans that those full things, and which we were proven to be right on, those full houses weren't going to be so full anymore. I mean, at one point they had to start doing these things called pre-per-views and all that stuff where they weren't getting paid for the pay-per-views. And one other thing, I guarantee you if that deal you're talking about with the pay-per-view, with the company, would come to pass, I guarantee you Billy Corgan would take that deal. I guarantee
Absolutely
you that.
Would. Absolutely would. Okay, let's say you can't get AEW. Let's say you can't get Impact. I still would buy into a network. See, I'm not going to spend $19.99 on a federation I never heard of. GWCWFBHIJKLMNOP Wrestling is running a pay-per-view. I've never heard of them in my life. They're out of San Francisco. I'm in New York. I don't know who they are. Am I going to spend $20 on this pay-per-view? No. However, if I spent $20 on the network for the month, I'm probably going to check it out. More eyes on the product, more notoriety for the brand. Maybe not as much of a take of the pie, but if money is the primary object, then you shouldn't be on that network to begin with, I guess. It should be more eyes on the product. Because maybe eventually you can get to the point where you're drawing more people or you're, you know, again, you can have a pay-per-view where you do charge. The minor federations, the indies, would be an awesome way for the indies to get notoriety without having somebody to shell out $20, because this is where Derek's point is correct. If you're shelling out $10 for the WWE Network, you're an AEW fan and you're going to shell out $60 here and there for an AEW pay-per-view, you're probably not going to shell out $20 for a pay-per-view of a group you've never heard of. I wouldn't. Why would I? However, if you're going to tell me there is a network that for $20 a month carries 8-10 different pay-per-views that you can watch on demand from all over the country, New York, California, Chicago, Midwest, everything, I'm in. That sounds fun. That means any night of the week that I have a few hours off or any day that I have a few hours off, I can be like, hey, let me just check out a federation I never saw. I'm paying for it anyway. Sounds like a good deal to me. I'd be in on that. Anyway, let's move on and talk a little bit about Bray Wyatt, because some pictures have surfaced recently of Bray Wyatt's hand being extraordinarily red, one of his fingers looking like that's twisted in an odd whatever, and the rumor is going around now that he injured his hand. They made no mention of Bray Wyatt. This week, we still don't know whether this is a go or it's not a go as far as the WrestleMania, but some people are now beginning to say that they will work something out and that Bray Wyatt probably will be at WrestleMania. He just had to take some time off. Now, I heard illness, but that if that picture of the hand that's circulating is correct, that's not an illness, that's an injury. So, I don't know, folks. I mean, can you wrestle with your hand like that? I assume you could. And that's why I'm not 100% sure this is true. Because, okay, let's say he couldn't wrestle that night. He can't do a promo? You can't do a promo with your hand hurt? You can't do an interview with your hand hurt? I don't know if I buy that. Why not? There are people who do interviews with broken legs, broken arms, and worse. Big E did them with a broken neck. You can't show up and cut a promo where they could hide your hand. You don't even see it, really. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily accurate. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I'm being told by a lot of people I trust it's not creative. It's not Bray Wyatt's mad and walked out, like everybody said. I'm being told it's an illness. But I'm just letting you know that I saw a picture surface of a hand, reportedly Bray Wyatt's hand, that certainly looks like it's messed up. So I don't know where they're going with it, Mike, but let's hope Wyatt does show up for WrestleMania.
You know, for God's sakes, there's been, over the decades that I've followed wrestling, there's been guys that have wrestled and cast Bob Orton or have used arm braces, Dr. Death Steve Williams, that have either shown up and done promos or flat out gotten in the ring, and wrestled with those particular things, right? And it's like, and I know some of the other things, like DiBiase's black glove was a gimmick, right? I know that. That's something there. And the whole coal miner's glove thing was a gimmick. But again, that's not the point. The point is they've shown up either wearing some sort of something on their arm that and still wrestle. So if this is something that they put in on his hand, if this was a picture that was taken before, just as a picture of the hand, and then they ended up putting something on the hand, then there's a chance he could still wrestle, right?
You would certainly think so. I mean, The Undertaker had that protective mask on when he had his eye socket crushed that time by Mabel. Sheamus wrestled with a broken nose and had that thing on. I can imagine that you could wrestle. What it looked like for the people who didn't see it, his entire hand was red, almost like sunburned red, and one of the fingers was clearly either dislocated or broken. But even so, I watched Tommy Dreamer wrestle with a broken leg. He had it in a cast. That's no bull. I was there live when he did it. Did he do a lot? No, but he still wrestled. So, I don't know, man. This is WrestleMania. Now, somebody who won't be at WrestleMania for sure is Kofi Kingston, unless he's just doing an interview, because he's having surgery today on his ankle. And certainly that's going to take much more recovery time than the couple of weeks we got to WrestleMania. So I don't even know if he'll be up and walking around, but he might be. And if he is, I'm sure they'll give the New Day some spot to say something or do something, which would be nice. I'm sure he's disappointed. What will we see on – let me get to this first. Apparently, the WrestleMania Night 1 main event has been solidified, and it is going to be Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley. That's Night 1's main event. I'm being told that's definite now. It was sketchy before because they were thinking of maybe having it be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. Now, if Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens wrestles in Night 1 and they're not the main event, as much as I am not a Sami Zayn fan outside the ring, I love what he did with the Bloodline. Absolutely did a brilliant job. Not a big fan of his. That's spitting in Sami Zayn's face, because Sami Zayn, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is the most interesting character that the WWE fans are the most into. And that should be your main event. Now, I know it can't be the main event when you have Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns. I get that. But even though it's the women's championship, I get that too. You got to go with a hot hand, and Sami Zayn's the hot hand. And you've got to make that your Night 1 main event. Now, in order not to be controversial and have people say, oh, yeah, that's because it's a women's wrestling and that's why you don't want it to be the main event, the WWE will probably make this night two. If that's what I would recommend they do. Make Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos night two. I'll tell you why. Then nobody will argue that it should be the main event because it obviously it can't be and it shouldn't be. But if you put that tag team match in the middle of the pack on night one, I think you're doing it just to try to be all-inclusive. And that's not the way it should be. It should be who's going to draw the most. What's the fan interest? The fan interest in Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair is not as good as you're not going to convince me. It's going to be as great as Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. You're not going to convince me of that. Not after everything that Sami Zayn has done. Not after everything the Usos have done and even KO has done. There's no way that interest is going to be higher. No way. So, Mike, I think really they better put it on night two if they're going to justify that, because if they put it on night one, to me it's going to look like they do it just to appease people who are, you know, going to complain that the women didn't get a main event.
Well, I would agree with you there, but here's the deal. What else is there? What are their plans on? What are their actual plans for that night too? I mean, we know Cody and Roman are going to be there at the end, right? That's in Roman's contract. That's going to be the main event and all that stuff. But what other matches are on night two that they could possibly move possibly to night one if they had to, you know? If they had to, if they want to or if they have to, you know? What other matches are there that they can move to have that, have the Sami Kevin Usos match move to night two? Which match would be moved, you know?
Well, I don't know which other matches are going to be in night one or night two, but I'm thinking that maybe you just move maybe Brock Lesnar and Omos as night two, move them to night one. I mean, is there more interest? Rhea Ripley is popular, so I guess there's more interest in Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte than there is in Asuka versus Bianca. But to be honest with you, I'm looking more forward to Asuka versus Bianca. I think it's going to be a better match. So, again, I think this is done so they can say, see how inclusive we are? We have one main event that's a women's and one main event that's a man's. Technically, it doesn't deserve to be the main event, and it doesn't. I'm sorry if that upsets people, but it doesn't. Go do your own survey. Ask wrestling fans all over the internet, what match are you most looking forward to? Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley or Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos? And I'll bet you more than 70% will say Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos. So that should be the main event. There are a lot of people saying, you know, we wanted Sami Zayn to be in the main event. Well, he'd be in the main event. He's earned it. The thing, he's earned it. Has Rhea Ripley earned it? Yeah. She kind of has. Charlotte hasn't. She's been in the main event I don't know how many times. She didn't earn this one. Sami Zayn did. The Usos did. And it's a shame that they're not going to get that opportunity. Todd, what are you more interested in? Are you more interested in Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte or the Usos versus KO and Sami?
I'm more interested in the KO and Sami versus the Usos match at WrestleMania.
I think most people are. I really do. So I think it's just being done for, you know, politically correct reasons, which I despise when they do that. But whatever, folks. You know, whatever. At least we know what the main events are now. It's Charlotte and Rhea night one, Cody and Roman night two. And we're not going to get into predictions or anything. We will when the time is right. But I'm being told that there still is a little bit of wiggle room to what that main event on night two is going to incorporate. Now, there are people saying, you know, Vince McMahon was at gorilla position. He's back to doing some of the creative. Officially, the word is no. He stayed out of everybody's way. He was in gorilla position, but he didn't talk to anybody. He didn't, you know, have any say over what was happening that night. Look, that's what they're going to say anyway. They're not going to tell you the truth. I don't know what the truth is. The truth could be that. But even if it wasn't, you're not going to know it because they're not going to tell you. What I do know is this. If Vince McMahon has any big say about it, Cody Rhodes will, in fact, be the champion. If it's totally Triple H, I'm not 100% sure. Now, I know Roman wants some time off, but he's getting time off. How often do you see Roman? He shows up on occasion, which I got to tell you, at first I was against it. At first I said to myself, if you're going to be a champion like Brock Lesnar was, or Roman Reigns is, you got to be front and center every week. You got to be on that show. So people say, that's the champion that's representing this federation. And I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind considerably. I actually think it might be better the way they're doing it now. It feels more special when the champion's not always there. It feels more special when, oh, he's showing up this week. It's almost like he just sits back and says, you guys fight to see who the number one contender is going to be. Yeah, you can do interviews and backstage segments, but, you know, it's almost better if it's a big deal when the champion shows up. So I've changed my mind about that, Mike. I think it's probably a good idea to have the champion only be on one or two shows a month.
Right. And I didn't think so with Brock Lesnar. But again, when you've got three other guys that are carrying this thing right now, and yeah, what's his name doesn't speak. Solo doesn't speak much, but the two Usos do, you know, and they're good enough on the mic to carry this thing. And we know how good Sammy is on the mic. And we know how good KO is on the mic. So, you know, not having him there allows the other three guys, or the other five guys, three on his side, five, two on the other side, or whatever, to do all the work to show what they can do, you know, particularly on the mic and stuff. And we know that Paul Heyman is still there. He can, if somebody falters, he can save them, you know, and he's probably doing all the writing for the Bloodline anyway, or most of the writing for the Bloodline anyway. So it's like, I agree with you, and I do agree with you about the whole Cody Rhodes, that match. We'll get into that when the time is right, because I definitely have my opinions on that match. But yeah, I think it gives the Usos and Solo a chance to show what they can do, particularly. We know what they can do in the ring, but particularly on the mic, and we know how good an actor both Jay and Jimmy are becoming.
No question about it. And again, it's not like if Cody were to lose, you could make an argument that if Gunther were to retain his title, Cody versus Gunther would be every bit as important as it would be if Gunther were to lose his title, Cody were to win one, and then you started a feud for the Universal title. I think it would still be of the same importance. So now the question is, are you willing to drop Roman Reigns from being the Universal Champion, which he obviously needs to really continue this Bloodline story? This is going to be a tough decision. I'm sure that they're weighing their options very carefully on which is going to be actually more conducive to ratings and the fans, because the fans have blown the roof off for Cody now, but can he maintain it as champion when it's not against Roman Reigns? Is a lot of that pop that Cody is getting, is that because they're so mad at Roman for beating Sammy? I just keep thinking to myself, yes. And once that's done, is that same pop going to be there for Cody? I don't know. I know there's a few things about Cody, and again, I'm very fair about this. You know I don't like Sammy outside the ring. But I was his biggest supporter in this Bloodline thing. He did a fantastic job. Fantastic job. Well, it's the same way with Cody. Cody outside the ring is one of the nicer people I've ever met. Genuinely interested in what the fans have to say. He's not phony. He's not hypocritical. He listens. He responds to what you say. He always is saying, you know, you have to listen to the fans because they're the ones who put the bread on the table. And I believe him. A lot of people say that, and they just say that because it sounds good. I believe him. Talked to him a few times. Very nice guy. My problem with Cody Rhodes is in the ring. And it's not in the ring physically. He's great in the ring. And he's given a lot of people a lot of offense, like, you know, L.A. Knight. He gave a lot of offense, Chad Gable, to make them look better. He's doing a fantastic job that way. My problem with him is his overall persona. He comes out in a suit. It looks ridiculous. He looks like he's an executive backstage, not a wrestler. That's number one theme song. I know that people like to go, whoa, but that song sounds like a whiny teenager, and it does not fit a mature man in a suit. If you're one of the two's got to go. Because if you're going to look like this executive, this, you know, dapper guy, you can't come out to a teenage pop song. And if you're going to come out to the teenage pop song, you got to come out more like Edge comes out. So that's a problem with Cody Rhodes. And I don't know, man. I don't know, Todd. Would he make a good champion? Do you think people would back him as the champion?
Like you said, fans like him now. If he wins the Undisputed Championship, they end up booing him out of the building after he wins it.
See, I don't know if it's true, and I think they'll give him a big cheer at WrestleMania, but then what comes after, Mike? That's what worries me. Once Roman Reigns is beaten and the fans figure, well, we got revenge for Sammy, are they going to have that same pop for Cody when he, you know, 6 months later or 5 months later?
That's right. You know, and that's the thing. It's, that plays into my prediction, which we'll get to when the time comes, and I won't make it now, but yeah, I mean that's the deal. Will he get the cheers? I mean, I do agree with you in one thing though, Marcus, that if he does lose, if he loses, all right, it would be a good idea to put him, you know, against Gunther and whatever. Yeah, he may or may not win the title, but put him against Gunther. And this, that, and the other. Because, one, you can have it'll be like him going against Roman Reigns because Gunther has the other two guys with him that help him at times. And
yep.
He'd have to climb over them to get to the Intercontinental title. And that would make
And not only that, but you got the American Nightmare and the, you know, anti-American sort of guy. And by the way, that one more point about this. That's another thing. You're going to call yourself the American Nightmare. You can't come out to some whiny, you know, pop song. See, that's another thing. Everything's wrong. American Nightmare, but he's dressed up like an executive. Well, that doesn't scream American Nightmare to me. American Nightmare, but he comes out to a pop song. That doesn't scream American Nightmare to me. There's a lot of weird things about Cody Rhodes. It doesn't all add up, Mike, and that's my concern.
Absolutely, and you want, I mean, American Nightmare, you look at Edge's song, Edge's music fits him, right? It fits
right.
him.
Yep.
You know, this the look and the song do not fit. I mean, it didn't fit when he was in AEW, and it doesn't fit here.
No, it really doesn't. WWE should call him aside and say, you know, the persona's not matching the song, the dress is not matching the persona. There's a lot of things wrong there. Nice guy, but you know, you got to get it together if you're going to be the champion, which most people think he's going to be. We'll talk to you on Monday, or Tuesday, I'm sorry. No, what am I saying? We'll talk to you on Sunday. For some reason, I thought Sunday was Easter. It's not. We will talk to you on Sunday with more Wrestle Chat Radio. Thank you.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio.